Hey, this is Marcus Lemonis. I run a multi-billion dollar company and host one of the most successful business shows on TV, where I use my own money to help small businesses succeed. On my podcast, we're going to talk to entrepreneurs who have great, inspiring, and sometimes unusual stories. We're also going to talk to celebrities who have launched successful ventures of their own. From them, we're going to get inspiration and inside stories of their business success. Look, you never know who's going to show up or what you're going to hear. This is 100%. I want to tell you a little story. I thought that's always the best way to start any relationship is with a good story. Remember when I graduated from college? I went to school in Milwaukee and I went back to Miami and I was going to take this big trip that was really born out of this desire to sort of let loose. So I drove down from Miami all the way to Key West, 3-hour drive, and I went out one night. And Key West has a really long road called Duval Street, which is where all the bars and the clubs are. Outside, all the doors are open, the windows open, and there's a lot of great music coming from there. Lights flashing and lots of people dancing and enjoying themselves. Of course, it lured me in like a magnet, just like sucked me into the room. I went to the bar, and while I was in college, I didn't drink much. And I asked the bartender for something that he really recommended. The guy said, "I'm gonna make you a tequila drink." Now, my memory of tequila was being a bartender in Milwaukee and serving people shots and watching them fall on the floor after the fourth one. So they weren't the fondest of memories. And he made me some drink that, quite frankly, could have doubled for a cruise drink because it had lots of fruit on the outside. What I didn't know is that I was drinking probably 90 parts tequila, 10 parts some really rancid orange juice that had been in the back of some Key West bar. About 4 hours later, after dancing, I woke up in a trailer park. It's kind of ironic because I'm in the trailer business today, but I never imagined that back then I would end up in a trailer park. Now, not the kind of trailer park where it's like a campground where there's families roasting marshmallows. It was the kind of trailer park that you probably shouldn't end up in. I have to tell you, I was naked. So now I know that tequila has this really relentless effect of causing me to do things that I wouldn't normally do. Now, since then, I've learned how to get naked without tequila, but in this particular situation, it was the tequila that made me do it. The purpose of this podcast is to really find special entrepreneurs around this country who have really cracked the code on something great, but are just trying to find out what else they need to add to their formula to go to the next level and inspire people. And most importantly, to give people ideas. Now, my twist on ideas is gonna shock you because on the show, The Prophet, I usually am the only one giving advice. But in this particular format, I realized that I don't know everything about everything. Sometimes I think I do, but I don't. And so as we go through these different companies and we meet these special entrepreneurs who have their own story and their own passion and their own reason for being here, I want to have them lean into more than just myself. The first entrepreneur is from a wonderful company called 21 Seeds. Kat Hontas, well, she's an unbelievable entrepreneur. She's married, has 2 kids, and she lives in San Francisco. And her product, 21 Seeds Tequila, well, it's attracting a lot of buzz from places like The Today Show and ABC News.
I was sort of making bootleg infused tequila. And I was serving it to all my friends at parties. And a lot of folks have taken notice, from Jessica Alba to Naomi Watts to Katie Couric. I mean, all of these women are drinking this tequila and loving it.
Kat, thanks for joining us.
It's awesome to be here. And I thoroughly enjoyed your story, and I can assure you, you do not have to fear 21 Seeds.
All right, listen, I get it. It's not the college tequila that you would find in a dorm room. So what exactly is it?
It's a sophisticated drink. We're changing the game. We're flipping the script on tequila. It's not just about shots anymore.
Kat, I want to spend a little time understanding your history because every entrepreneur has a story to tell of why they got in the business, and I'd love to hear yours.
So my story actually is pretty unconventional one. It started 9 years ago now. It began with me just sort of not feeling well health-wise. I was having sort of headaches and sweats, so I took a visit to my doctor and I said, you know, what's going on with me? Like, am I in menopause? Is this early menopause? And he said, no, you're not at all. He's like, let's look at what you're eating and drinking. And at the time, I was finishing my nights with a couple of glasses of wine, generally like white wine or rosé. While I was cooking, I'd pour myself a glass of wine. And then during dinner, I'd have a glass of wine.
Was it your husband and your kids that were causing you to drink two glasses of wine at the end of every day?
Yeah, I mean, one was brought on by the kids and the other one was brought on by the husband for sure.
That's usually how drinking works, right?
Right. I wasn't feeling well. And he said, listen, as you get older, defined to say over 30, it gets harder to metabolize fermented spirits like wine, beer, champagne, sake. So let's just start by cutting out wine and move over to, and he said, tequila. He's like, move over to Blanco tequila.
Let me understand this. Blanco tequila is tequila in its purest form. There's no aging or mixing, right?
Yeah, I tried it. The minute I stopped drinking wine, I felt like 100% better. No more headaches, no more sweats, just felt incredibly good. So I thought, okay, that worked. Now I'm left here with this Blanco tequila. Like, what to do with this Blanco? Because I felt like in general, tequila was kind of harsh. I had a little PTSD left over from college myself of having had too many shots. And I just thought, like, how am I gonna drink this Blanco every day and make it as delicious and light and easy and just something I look forward to in the way that I was looking forward to that glass of wine?
Well, Kat, one thing that I wanna point out is when people think about starting a business, one of the takeaways we want them to leave here today with is, it's starting a business, if you have a purpose or something that you're solving for in your own life, your passion for digging down into the details and making sure that it's right is really a lot deeper than it would if you were starting a business just to make money. And so the fact that this came out of a need for your own personal benefit and then it blossomed into a business idea is really what I tell entrepreneurs they should look for in any business they want to start. You meet people that say, I want to start a business. Okay, what are you passionate about? Well, I'm passionate about making money. Okay, well, that's not going to work. In your case, you were passionate about improving your health and not giving up a leisurely activity that you liked. Is that right?
That's exactly right. And it didn't happen overnight, right? This is 9 years ago. So for me, I just thought I got to do something to this Blanco to make it enjoyable. I like cooking, holding a wine glass. So I needed that tequila to be able to, you know, be in that wine glass and feel light and like a spritz. And I wanted it to smell good and not like tequila and, you know, taste good and be smooth and be lighter.
Describe for people what infusing is, because for me, that means just mixing two things together. It's different than that, right?
So it's much like how you make sangria. The way I was doing it in my kitchen is you just put the whole fruit into the Blanco. You let it sit in the Blanco for, you know, anywhere from a day to a couple of days, 3 days, depending on how you want it to taste. And then you take all of the fruit out, run it through a strainer, and what's left is infused Blanco tequila. That's what's left.
Is it like putting a sponge of fruit into a glass of blank tequila?
Is it like real fruit?
It's real fruit, yeah. Some of the tequila goes into the fruit, and some of the fruit goes into the tequila.
That guy you keep hearing, that's my producer, James, also known to me as Mary's boy. What do you mean, how, James?
Well, how does the tequila get into the fruit?
Just listen. You take a bucket, mm-hmm. and you pour a shit ton of tequila in the bucket, mm-hmm. and then you go to the farmer's market, and you buy a bunch of fruit, and you literally just dump it in there.
Kat, is that how you do it?
That is exactly how you do it. Of course I am.
That's
Are
it.
You kidding?
And you really not understand the concept?
I get it now, but okay. I thought it was,
it's not like
I
making
it was
a milkshake
more in-depth.
You like, you like ice cream and milkshake. No, stick to the technical stuff.
Well, the most genius things are so basic until they're discovered. So because in general, I don't like the way that quote unquote infused with flavor, flavored spirits taste. They smell like a Jolly Rancher and they kind of have this weird aftertaste like you're sucking on a nickel.
Best business I ever owned was I was a Jolly Rancher drug dealer. sorry to divert here, but I got to tell you this, Jolly
Rancher. Is this legal?
It's legal. It wasn't really drugs. The Jolly Ranchers were the drugs.
I worry.
I was in fourth grade, okay? And I would buy them for like 3 cents and sell them for a quarter. And people still thought it was a deal.
You're a little scammer.
Because at 25 cents, you know that when you're in fourth or fifth grade, and it's like geometry class.
Dude.
You are jonesing for something
geometry
you're not supposed to have.
In fourth grade? Who does that?
Sorry about my Jolly Rancher story. You'll never think about Jolly Ranchers again the same way.
I mean, I can appreciate a Jolly Rancher on its own, so I'm with you on that. So yes, that's what I did. And I used to do it in a Brita. I would just take a Brita. It was very basic. I would just put the tequila in.
You mean like the water purification thing?
Yes, which causes its own problems because sometimes I had a friend who mistook the Brita for actual water. And so she came home from a run and she found this Brita with clear liquid in it that looked like water and cucumbers floating in it. So she poured a big glass and all of a sudden I hear her like, oh my God, what is this water? She had chugged like half a glass of straight tequila before she even realized that it wasn't water.
I just tried the cucumber jalapeno tequila and I was trying to visualize her drinking this Brita. To be honest with you, when you open it up, it's extremely fragrant, meaning that I smell the jalapeno
seeds. I smell
seeds
it over here.
And I smell the cucumbers. Much like a candle has to have a certain amount of oil to create a throw, which is like the scent. An excellent job in infusing the tequila in a way that is super fragrant. Can you smell that?
It's making my eyes water.
It's not making your eyes water. It's making your mouth water. And it has a taste that matches the smell, which is very hard to do in food. I don't know if you know that or not.
I mean, I didn't know that. And I didn't know much about the industry in general. Yeah, so when you're actually infusing, that is what is making it smell so good. And it's also what is making it so, so smooth. So when I infused that Blanco, it changed it for me 100%. And it basically solved all of my pain points. It made it so that it was smooth and not harsh, like that regular Blanco is so harsh. So this completely smoothed it out. And that is the process of infusion.
How long has the product been in market? And when did that final recipe get done?
We launched last April. I was making that infused tequila for 8 years, just in my kitchen. And over the course of the 8 years, I noticed a lot of things were happening. I noticed that a lot of my girlfriends, they were moving away from wine and champagne because they wanted lower carb, less sugar, all of those things, and coming right to tequila. And they were squeezing a bunch of fresh lime juice into it to make it not taste like tequila. And then they were asking me to make them bottles of my tequila. I was just perfectly fine making this tequila for myself, for my friends, for entertaining, and not looking to make it into a business. It wasn't until I saw this like trend, we took a walk down the tequila aisle and here's what we found. There were a bunch of new tequilas that had come on the market. They were all premium and ultra premium. They were all Blanco, Reposado, Añejo, but they were all being marketed and positioned like scotches and whiskeys. Every bottle looked the same. It was all some sort of Mexican name and then an agave plant of some kind. So nothing that really spoke to how I was drinking my tequila. And then last but not least, we tasted anything on the market that was quote unquote flavored or infused with flavor. And so armed with that, we kind of thought, oh, you know, maybe there's a hole here. And we went down to Mexico looking for a distillery partner.
The internet has given us access to any kind of information we want right at our fingertips. But it's more important to have that information, especially when making important decisions, like choosing life insurance. But sometimes too much information is overwhelming. So how can you be sure you're being smart with your research? Well, Policy Genius is an online insurance marketplace that makes it easy to compare quotes from over a dozen top insurers all in one spot. It's like a choice model. Their team of licensed experts is working for you, not the insurance companies. So you can trust that what they're telling you is not only to help you, but to help you understand and find the best price. You can save 50% or more on life insurance by comparing quotes with Policy Genius. In fact, you can save over $1,300 or more per year on life insurance by using Policy Genius to compare policies. If you need life insurance coverage, you want to be more than just smart about it. You want to be a genius.
Head to policygenius.com to get started right now. Policy Genius. When it comes to insurance, well, it's nice to get it right. Summer is in full swing, and this is the time to relax and take some vacation. But if you haven't upgraded your business to NetSuite yet, well, you're going to be wasting precious time fussing around with the numbers. So it's time to graduate your current financial system to NetSuite. NetSuite is the number one cloud-based financial system, no matter what the size of your business. It has everything you need to grow all in one place: your financials, inventory, HR, e-commerce, and a lot more. Their automated processes can help you close the books a lot faster than your competitors. And an overwhelming majority of businesses that choose NetSuite reported increased visibility and control. And everybody knows I love that. Don't get stuck behind in summer school while your friends are on vacation. Special financing is back now. NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind financing program only for those ready to graduate today. Head to netsuite.com/Marcus right now. That's special financing at netsuite.com/Marcus. netsuite.com/Marcus.
I want to compliment you on something that I myself learned as you were describing your process to land on what you wanted to launch. The thought process to go from idea, which is solving a problem, to the process to establish how you were going to differentiate yourself in the market through infusion, to really studying the market of what the competitive landscape was and is not only spectacular, but it is what is missing in most startups today in America, which is probably the single biggest difference between you taking your idea from I can't have wine to the shelves of a lot of retailers in America to I have a great idea and I don't know how to get going. And the point that you made that I learned is your assessment of how the tequila business was being presented in the marketplace and how it was copycatting other things, whiskeys and cognacs and things of that nature. And I never had thought about it because I've always historically known about infused vodkas. I don't think I've ever seen an infused tequila. And I had never thought about it until you brought it up. That was number one. Number two, when I went out and bought your product, I was internally critical of your primary packaging, which is the actual bottle itself. It looks like a vodka bottle, an average bottle that has a very bright fruit and a very simplistic but clean logo on it. This is 21C. So it's the most simplistic packaging. I was critical of it, which is why it's bad to do this when you rush to judgment in somebody's business until you get the explanation. Your explanation of what you surveyed in that aisle and how you pivoted and where you saw the opening in the market, which is a key takeaway for people. It's like a little window you peek through and you identified simplicity in packaging, pureness and authenticity in flavoring, and the differentiation of your product from everybody else by infusing it with the flavor. It shows me how smart you are, where you were able to identify the things you needed to do to get to launch pad. All that's happening, you're on the shelves. I have a quick question for you. You said you're a creature of habit, right?
Totally.
Can you give us one habit that you have in your business and the way you run your business that you repeat all the time? Because I'm a creature of habit too.
Just in the way I start my day, for example, I pick up and wear the same exact outfit that's sitting on my chair every single day until it's so dirty I can't wear it anymore. I sit in the same spot every day.
So hold on a second. You're not just going to say that and keep moving. You essentially wear the same dirty clothes every day until it's not acceptable to you. Does anybody else get to vote on whether it's acceptable or not? Or is it you're 100% in charge in the dirty clothes you wear?
It's pretty much me. My husband, he washes my clothes. When I know I need to change the outfit, it's because I wake up that morning and actually the clothes aren't there anymore. They're not on the chair, because he has actually physically removed them and put them into the laundry.
When I talk about repeatable things and I meet a new business owner or an existing business owner, I'm looking for them to get into some sort of pattern with their day. I'll give you a silly example. So when I wake up in the morning, I make a little list of all the things I have to do that day. And when I end my day, I make a list of all the things I didn't get done that day. That's a silly example. In the case of a business owner, what I'm looking for them to do is sort of a takeaway is, okay, what's something I do every day? I review my previous day sales.
Well, see, this isn't how my brain works. I guess what I do is I'll check my email.
Let's turn a different way. What are a couple of things you think you should do on a repeatable basis? Like for me, I'm always looking for new talent, trying to grow my human talent pool. I'm trying to understand where our cash position is. I'm looking at who's performing and who's not. There's a few things that I try to do every day. What would be three things? And changing your clothes doesn't have to be one of them. You can go ahead and just make them business oriented.
That I should do every day. Oh my God, you're killing me because I honestly don't do three things every single day, every day.
No, but a lot of people struggle, including myself, to get ourselves into a pattern. But what I just heard you essentially tell me is that you get up in the morning and you go onto your emails. And for me, that's reactive business. You're basically reacting to what people are pushing you. You're not generating any new ideas. You're not reviewing your numbers or reviewing the progress with the staff, looking at forecasts, looking at packaging, looking at distribution, looking at where you're not selling things. I think it's important to really take a step back for a minute. And I want you to give yourself a little more credit because as an entrepreneur, you're on the shelf of major retailers. I want to help you figure out how to 10X it. Now I want you to take it to the next level and wake up in the morning, create a routine, review your numbers, recruit better people. I need you to know all of that. And so my role in this process is to be a bridge builder. You ran down this field and you got to the edge of the cliff and you kicked ass and you're holding your bottle like the Lion King holds its baby. You can picture yourself. Can you picture yourself holding? Can you do that for me? Grab your bottle and hold it up there. Now you're holding it like your baby. Please don't hold your baby by the neck. Okay, let's hold your baby like a baby. And I want you to lift it up all the way above your head, just like the Lion King did Simba, okay? That's the proud moment. The reason I wanted to create that visual for everybody is that's how everybody feels about their business. It's the most important thing. What's the next thing that has to happen for your baby to grow up?
Expand distribution and increase velocity.
No, you need to raise your baby. How much time do you have to pay attention to that baby?
24/7.
Thank you.
I do. I promise you I do. And I drive my team nuts. There was a time when I was suffering from massive imposter syndrome and felt like there's no way that I can be the CEO of this company. It was in a moment when things were actually going incredibly well for 21 Seeds, not at a time when things were like, oh, this isn't working. I was like, I am not equipped to be the CEO of this company. And I literally said to my husband, I'm like, this isn't gonna work. Like, I can't do this anymore. And he said to me exactly what you just said. He said, listen, there comes a time in every entrepreneur's path when this thing goes from being a project to being a company. And that is where you are right now. And you need to hire more people. And that was actually a really hard time for me because I am absolutely a control freak. And so the biggest struggle for me is how do you let go of that and be okay with 90%, knowing that there's no way that someone's ever gonna do it 100% of the way that I do it, and being okay with that 90%.
So Kat, I wanted to introduce you to two what I think are powerhouses, not only in the business space, but in the space of helping people and managing people. Patty McCord has been an executive with Netflix for over 15 years and has absolutely taught all of us in America how to think about people differently. She's the author of Powerful Building, A Culture of Freedom and Responsibility. So Patty, I want to start with you and have you give some advice to Kat.
Nice to meet you.
Patty, dying to hear how you hire people.
I want you to think about the company being inordinately successful in about 6 months. And I want you to look out 6 months because I think that's about as far as we can realistically see anymore. Close your eyes and imagine that you're visiting all the different people in all the parts of your company. And what are they doing differently? Then you drop down and say, okay, in 6 months, if we were doing these amazing things with this amazing team, what kind of skills and experience would it take to be able to do that? And then, and only then, look at who you've got. Because if you start with the team you've got, you will do better, but you may not be amazing.
So in other words, it sounds like it's worth it to shake up the team you have in order to grow.
Exactly. And so when you do that sort of reverse engineering, then you're going to be able to say, wow, there's skills that we don't know how, right? A lot of it's about scale early on, right? The problem with scale is that you can't imagine 100x if you haven't seen 10. So it's helpful to have advisors or people around you who've seen scale.
Mm-hmm. Patty, what do we do in a situation where we don't have the money to hire people? Because we're a startup, like, and I would imagine when Kat first started, right, Kat? It's like you didn't have money to be right and hiring a lot of expensive people. What do we do in that situation?
Think about the cost of payroll, the cost of labor as being that bucket of costs. And then you have to decide how best to spend it. When we would grow at Netflix, I remember one of the guys saying one time, well, we want to hire this guy from Google. He's amazing, but you know, he makes $300K, everybody else makes $150K. I got five people on my team, it'll ruin my internal equity. And I said, okay, can he do 2x on day one? Well, yeah. And I'm like, what about those two people you've been complaining to me about for the last year that aren't really pulling their weight?
You've told me that the most successful people sometimes have the most unconventional ideas about hiring.
Yes. I met Emily Weiss,
the CEO of Glossier.
She's part of my posse. I coach a lot of women CEOs. And she came to my house and, you know, sat on my floor in her groovy New York outfit and said, you know, what's your sign? And I said, why are we talking about this? And she said, because, you know, it's kind of my icebreaker and it's the way I interview people. I'm like, no, stop doing that. Just stop.
It does seem like a good question to ask if you're going to go have a drink with somebody.
Absolutely. But that's not why you're hiring people.
Right.
You want to hire an incredible team that does amazing work. That's your job forever.
Yeah, I like that.
Patty, I can't think of anyone who knows more about scaling than you, Patty McCourt. Thanks for bringing your wisdom and your legendary Netflix experience to the podcast today. It was great to meet you.
Nice to meet you too.
When I was younger, my mom used to always emphasize the importance of learning, but she always told me that it was important to pass that knowledge on. So now I want to share a wonderful new resource that I have found. That's called Wondrium. Wondrium is a fantastic online service that has thousands of hours of mind-blowing content to satisfy any craving for any kind of knowledge. And it's way more than any video streaming service. It offers a full learning experience. Look, you've been wondering about a lot of things lately, so have I. But you can dive into all of them at Wondrium. I personally found out that there are a lot of helpful resources, like how to plan for the perfect retirement and the brain-based guide to communicating better, which we all need. Trust me, your brain is going to love this place. Sign up now through my special URL to get this great offer, a 14-day free trial of unlimited access. Go now to Wondrium.com/Marcus. That's Wondrium.com/Marcus. Wondrium.com/Marcus. That's Wondrium.com/Marcus.
I want to bring my dear friend Carolyn Manzo into this conversation because we're pivoting over into the branding side. Now, I'm not going to say what her former Real Housewife life is about. She's a businesswoman. She's a mother. She's an entrepreneur. She is a people helper. And I've seen a lot of people have a lot of ideas and not have a marketing planning. Part of the reason why I wanted her on is she has truly demonstrated her ability to brand herself, brand products, brand her family, and do it in a way where she's controlling that narrative.
Thanks, Marcus. I don't know if you know this about me. I owned my own business until television came along. In that you meet so many people in so many different walks of life and you learn a lot about people. And I think the biggest thing that I've taken from watching my husband inherit a business at 20 years old and now 40 years later still there and growing it into a multi-million dollar business is blood, sweat, and tears are a major part of that equation. And integrity is everything. Many, many years ago when Bravo approached me to become a housewife, the very first thing I said to them is, do not change me. Do not make me march to the beat of your drum because I only know how to march to the beat of my drum. And I cannot be something I'm not because it will be a disaster. And that is the key, I believe, in anything. knowing your worth, speaking your truth, and walking in that truth. It's okay to make mistakes. It's okay not to know everything, but it's not okay to be something that you're not. Right now, we have recently undertaken a monster project down the Jersey Shore. We took over the food and beverage of a hotel that has a long history in Asbury Park. And this was our first summer during COVID, having to deal with all the restrictions of COVID, opening up restaurants, finding out, hiring, firing, and everything that goes on in between.
Carolyn, you need 21 seats at the restaurant. You need to put it at the hotel and the restaurants.
I'll do it, girl.
Don't be trying to do business without me here. Just to recap, it is impossible to start something in the spirits business without big money behind you as a female. It doesn't happen. Period. End of story.
Right. And all female employees.
Yes. And at the end of the day, you were able to enter a crowded space. You were able to enter it very intelligently. And what I'm looking to do with you is to say to you, I am humbled by what you've been able to accomplish. We're going to go from 2.5 to 25 to $250 million business. And the way that's going to happen is that your sphere of influence has to grow. You're going to hire more people, sure. You also have to manage more people. And this idea that you don't have a routine as a leader of your business isn't ridiculous at all. It's just something that I think we should work on. And even if it's just starting to add 2 activities a day that were repeatable, and then you work up to 3 and you work up to 4. Because when I think about my day, and I have 12,000 people and people all over the place, if I don't enter the day organized with a plan, I end up just being a distraction to everybody. Because I'll pop in their office, hey, what are you doing? No, what are you doing? And they'll give me the attention that I want, but it doesn't really make the business function. I'm not asking you to militarize your time. I'm asking you just to put a little framework around it. Do you know who your customers are?
Our customer is 80% female, 20% male.
How do you know that?
We know that from all of our online data.
Well, you don't know what actually transacts at the grocery store at BevMo, right? Like, I walked into BevMo today and bought 3 bottles. They didn't ask me if I was a man or a woman. So how do you know that the end purchaser, the actual purchaser, is a man or a woman?
So there are a couple ways. Number one, over 20% of our sales are done through online, and we have that data. So of that consumer who's buying online, it's 80% female, 20% male. Our email subscriber list is 100% female. So the folks that have signed on to be our ambassadors, who are the early adopters of our brand, who are just reaching out to us, are women. Of the people who follow us on social media, it is, I don't know the exact number, but it's in the 80s of being female.
Okay, so I just pulled up your Instagram account.
Yeah.
So beautiful.
Yeah.
So stylized and so female.
So pretty.
Thank you.
So beautiful, so stylized, and so female. And so it is true. And by the way, you have a lot of followers. I think you have almost 12,000 followers for a baby brand, which is unreal. Your posts are very much geared towards, it looks like, the working mom. The color palette is very female. And so from a digital standpoint and from an online standpoint, I get why on a social media or email capture basis, you're skewing female. I get it, because you've projected that outwards. When I go into the liquor store, like I did today, I did not look at this bottle. As a consumer, not knowing you, not meeting you, not seeing your Instagram, not seeing your website, I did not feel like this was a female-centric brand. It felt very much right down the middle. And what I worry about is that sometimes as you move forward, I think you have to decide, are you a female-leaning brand, a male-leaning brand, or a gender-neutral brand? And I'm not here to tell you what you should be or shouldn't be, but whatever you decide, then you have to lean into it. Carolyn,
you know, looking at your Instagram and everything, I was like, this is so feminine and so pretty. And it made me smile. It made me happy. And then looking at the bottle, I didn't get that it was feminine. What I did get out of it, it was clean and it was crisp and it made me want to drink it. But your website and your Instagram is screaming female. And I was curious to that as well.
Who is your target audience, men or women?
Women.
Okay.
100%. Women who are like me, who want to move away from wine and come over to tequila. Women who want to drink cleaner. Women who are focused on wellness, that want to drink light and crisp.
But why do you have to narrow the funnel of revenue? Why do you have to do that?
Who controls the shopping decisions in a household?
My wife.
80% controlled by women.
But who goes to a liquor store on Sundays? It's the men that go.
But where's the volume, Carolyn? The volume comes in the grocery stores, not at the liquor store.
What are you guys arguing about again? Why it's not for men?
I respectfully disagree with Kat. I don't understand why you would turn away sales. All right. I looked at your Instagram and I looked at your website and I read up about you and I found myself smiling. I'm like, this is cute. That's cute. And I like when you said the girl power, or what was it that the girls rule?
Girls call the shots.
Girls call the shots. Once, twice, okay. I don't want to see it over and over again. All right? Because guess what? You're more than that. You don't have to keep reminding us of that. Let your product speak for that. Stop reminding people how great you are because you're a woman. You did it. Congratulations. Go for it. Now, kick ass with that product. And guess what? You know what I want to see? I want to see a 200-pound Goomba going in and buying my tequila. I see it. I know it. I feel it. I appreciate it. I respect it. Stop reminding me. Because you know what that does to me? It turns me off.
But here's the thing. We didn't just slap a skirt on it and give it a girly name. Like, it's not like the pink vodka, pink this, pink that. We didn't do that, right? Men buy us too. But when you are marketing, the brand has to speak to someone. If I went out there and tried to market to men specifically right now, it would be a very different game plan than if I were to market to women.
Stop. Kat, listen, I want to just tell you this, okay? Women aren't the only ones who want to drink clean, healthier spirits. But I do want to reinforce one more time, just so I'm super clear, that Carolyn and I are blown away at what you've been able to accomplish in a very short period of time.
I'm going to go out and buy some. I swear to God, I am.
You talk about outgrowing your employees. If your business takes off the way I think it's going to, you're going to need more capital. I don't want you to be one-dimensional in any way. Mm-hmm. Your product and your packaging is so clean and so clear and so right down the middle of not being too male and not being too female that it appeals to everybody. The fact that you differentiated your product from other people by infusing it thoughtfully is going to give you the advantage. The fact that you are so passionate, even if I think you're totally wrong, is what makes you so freaking special. Now, let's go to phase two. In order to take it to the next level, you're going to have to widen the funnel a little bit and try to attract more people to the brand and more people to the whole concept. If you continue to say to yourself even that it is a product built for women, you will be successful to a degree. And if limiting your success was a goal of yours, you'll be fine. However, what Michael Jordan used to say years and years and years ago is that Republicans buy sneakers too, and men buy tequila too. And so all I'm asking you to consider, please, for whatever I can plead to, continue to be for women, employ women, use a women co-packer like you do. That's amazing. But when you're going out into the marketplace and you're on BevMo shelves or Whole Foods shelves or whoever shelves, nobody knows the backstory of all those things that make you amazing.
For sure.
Please try to neutralize your website and your Instagram a little bit more. Please try to get in some sort of routine to do one or two things repeatedly that maybe you're not used to doing. I think this business in 2 years is going to be a $25 million business and then a $200 million business. This thing is going places. Don't make it harder for it to go there.
I like everything you're saying. For her, by her, to be enjoyed by all.
No. I want to thank you for coming on today because I feel like you really demonstrate what a true entrepreneur is. A risk taker, a fighter, a believer in themselves, a believer in their product. And whether you're a man or a woman, you could teach me something. Now I just need you to try to learn a little bit as well.
I will.
All right. Thanks for coming on, Kat.
Thank you for having me. And I love the advice. Thank you.
Marcus, I have a question that I want to ask you. you were a man that has always been 100% in charge, doing things your way. Now you have Bobby Lemonis, who is in your world, who now is in charge as well with all your Marcus properties and your stores. How are you handling having a partner who also happens to be your wife? And what are you willing to let go to give to her to make things grow?
It was the first time in my life that I realized that not being in charge of something would make it better. And I'm not just saying that because it's my wife. In fact, being married for 4 years now, I had to change my mindset about everything, including business. And I noticed that in investing in small business and in making the profit and in thinking about the way I manage my people, it changed the way I looked at things and realized I don't always have to be in charge. It's important to learn that other people can be additive to your business, which is why this podcast was created, to bring people like you on it, to meet entrepreneurs who think one way about one thing, but maybe there's a different vantage point. Thank you so much for joining me.
Okay, honey. Bye-bye.
When we started this podcast, we talked a little bit about this journey down to Key West and how you get lost in tequila. I think the way I want to wrap things up is to have people think about the way they can get lost in their own business and can get into their own way. And as I watched and listened to Kat take some advice when she liked it and push back on advice when she doesn't, it shows me that she has passion for her business. But there's a balance between passion and stubbornness. My advice to Kat and to all entrepreneurs out there is to listen to the feedback you're getting and to really understand who your customer is and who you want it to be, and then follow that path. And you can't just follow that with words. You got to check the different mediums, the website, the Instagram, the packaging, the way you handle your staff, the way you answer your call, the way you deal with everything. It has to be really all tied together with the bow. Our goal is to help people look introspectively at the way they think about themselves, and more importantly, to show other people how successful people got to where they are. There's always something for all of us to learn. I learn something every single day that I wake up. I'm grateful for that. I hope you learned something too. I'm Marcus Lemonis, and this is 100%. This podcast is hosted and executive produced by me, Marcus Lemonis. It's executive produced by Nancy Glass and James Balash. Produced by Joanne Cosro and Andrea D'Ambrosio. Other members of the production team include Andrea Gunning, Ben Fetterman, Lindsay Livingston, Carrie Hartman, Elena Karmazin, Thomas McClellan, Madeline Cole, Samantha Jacobson, and Brittany Vuzo. Edited by Matt Delvecchio and Blake Maples. And the sound mixing's done by Dave Saya. A special shout-out to Gotham Studios in New York City, Elliot Lanham at Hidden City Studios, BAM Studios in Chicago, and Mibe Music.